With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Well, the reason why we're doing 15 minutes is because we weren't actually going to do an episode. We're both on our lunch break here, just banging out a bonus one, just to let the listeners know, you know, we're doing this for you.
You're doing it for you. Let's carry on.
No, I'm doing it for them, because I know that they want to hear more content after our first win in 11 games, Matt. Who are you doing it for? Well, you can cut whatever you want out, but I'll tell you something you're not cutting out. You're not cutting out Joe Worrell. You're not cutting out Joe Worrell. Joe Worrell has had to deal with a load the last few weeks. Criticism from fans online, criticism in general. And I'll tell you one thing, he was spectacular yesterday. I put out a post and it's almost on 1,000 likes about how we should show our appreciation for Joe Worrell on Twitter. It's almost there. And all there's loads of the people who have them for him as well because they know how well he played. I want to dissect some of his good points of the game. He was calm, cool under pressure. He tracked runs well. There was one point where the ball went over the top and he took it down. Looked like he was under pressure. Looked like he was going to give it back to the goalie. But then their centre forward went to pressure our goalkeeper. Turned around and just lovely little layoff to Lottie, then picked it up again. And he was making passes decisively, calmly and coolly. He wasn't just launching it up. He launched it up when we needed to. He was absolutely spectacular. It's one of the best games I've ever seen him play in a Forest jersey. And that big block at the end where McAllister had a shot on goal and he blocked it wide. And you could see him celebrating, going, come on, come on, because he knows he needed a big game and he had it.
My girlfriend also says that we look like each other. I think she's got...
You definitely don't look anything like Joe
Worrell, isn't it?
He's taller, more athletic, and better looking. No disrespect to you. I mean, he's better looking than me too, all right? I just think it's exceptional to show a display like that when you're under pressure, your other centre-backs got injured, etc., etc. You know, I just think we forget that. We see the bad moments with defenders. Matt, you predicted Renan Lodi to score. It was an own goal, but technically we'll count it. I predicted Brighton to lose 3-1 and Forest to win 3-1 at home. And our predictions came true, Matt. Our predictions came true. And now, here we are, and it's all possible once again.
Well, that's why the fans were singing Forest all over the world to out of respect to our podcast predictions, no?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just one of the chants that they have. And I think we based our brand off Forest all over the world. So
I know, it's quite, it's in a spot, we didn't plan for that, but inspired free advertising, no? We can pretend that the whole stadium is singing about our podcast.
Well, I think if they sang Forest All Over Podcast rather than Forest All Over the World, then it would be, but they didn't. They sang Forest All Over the World. So it's not us. We don't own that. Anyway, let's talk about the game. What a magnificent win for us.
Brilliant.
Oh, unbelievable. Like, it's one of those things.
We genuinely did call
it.
And after watching the FA Cup semi final, I was very confident. I thought there's just something about this. I think Forest are sitting. I think Cooper's watching this, plotting. What did I say? I think I referred to it as do or die, and I was just thrilled that they managed to do it. When Brennan missed that penalty, though, I did get a bit of those that good old Forest feeling that we're all too familiar with.
Yeah, same here. I think it was, you know, the centre back going off, another injury after what, 10, 15 minutes, and then Brennan missing a penalty as well. And then, of course, 27 minutes, Lottie looked like he was injured. Then Taiwo looked like he was injured.
It's ridiculous,
inevitably,
isn't it?
We did get another injury second half, but it's just we're falling like absolute dominoes, and they're not all muscle strains or injuries. It's not just down to the physios and stuff, because Neko has now broken his jaw. Looks like he's fractured his jaw and he's out for the season.
What a player he's turned into in this sort of recent few games. I mean, just deserves so much praise after the sort of criticisms he was getting. He's been amazing.
the last few games in particular he has. Yeah. I think the back five just suits him. Do you know what I mean? So him playing wing back with the back three and then him and Lottie pushing, that just suits him. And I think we weren't playing to his strengths, which is fine. And Aurier worked in a back four, which is what I presume we'll go back to because we're now missing a centre back, so we have to be careful. But I agree. He's been stunning. He was great in the game yesterday and he was great against Liverpool there on Saturday.
Like, Omar Richards is only a little bit more absent than Niakate if he's out for long. Like, it's crazy.
Not really. I think Niakate's played at least 5 or 6 games
in a season,
mate. Always had a massive
in a
impact.
Season.
Omar,
come on,
yeah, Omar Richards, yeah, and Omar Richards hasn't played any. So that little correlation.
Yeah, I'm just making a joke. It's like insane. When Niakate went down, I was like, oh, of course. I was just waiting for Cheick Kiyate to trip over before the 90 minutes as well, or the 105 minutes. But anyway, talking of Cheick Kiyate, like how great is it to see him back in? Seeing as we can't get Yates in the start.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to see him. And the fact that he played in the back three there, didn't he, when he came on? Because we had that.
But he's got that
tenacity
and that the energy and aggression, I think. He brings a lot of that to our side.
I agree, yeah. And he's big as well. He's like 6'3", 6'4". Will win corners and, he gets stuck in. Yeah. I wonder, is he deceivingly fast or is that just me? Like, every time I see him run, I'm like, is he fast? Is he slow? Is he just trying his hardest? I can't quite tell. What do you think?
No, he reminds me of one of those players who looks like he's always about to trip over the ball or doesn't...
Right.
Like, and there's...
But doesn't quite somehow comes away with it,
and it's too many. It's too frequently that he looks like that's happening for it to be what's happening. It just looks like he's always getting caught up and tripped over the ball. You know what, look, Brighton, mate.
But actually, he's just a very good, tenacious player. Right?
He's brilliant. I can't tell you how exciting it was. I was topless. I was like a Newcastle fan. After that Danilo goal, my top came off and I was like, yes, on my own in front of the telly.
And I went absolutely nuts as well. I was going, come on! Like, just, I couldn't handle it. Like, I think I was like messaging one of the groups with a voice note of other fans that are mates of mine. And I was going, I can't deal with this.
What was this on the Danilo goal?
Like, almost crying. Oh, what a goal that was. What a goal. It presses high. Wins the ball back, hits it to Taiwo. Taiwo, lovely little laid ball through, and then accelerates past and just scores with his right foot. It's an exceptional, exceptional goal. That's the goals that win you games.
Yeah.
You know, he did everything right. You know, it's what a wonderful goal. And there's a great view of that on there for
YouTube.
Oh, it's pure class.
This clearly does a huge amount of hope for our survival bid. We really need Fulham. It's amazing the layers in terms of, it's not just teams we're playing we need to do a favour or our competitors. I've worked out we really need Fulham to try and hold City to a draw or beat City, because that then gives Arsenal more of a fighting chance, which means, like you said, if they've got something at stake against us, we've got more chance of beating Arsenal for some reason if they've got something at stake.
I think we're taking 3 points off them anyway. I've said that all season.
But let me finish that, because what we don't want is City playing Everton or Leeds, is it? Or is it Leicester with nothing to play for? Or getting...
That's...
I'd rather it was Fulham.
Yeah, that's...
Did something special for Forest.
That what? Against
Man City this weekend, this Sunday.
It's not going to happen. So Man City, are like, the last time they dropped points was against us. They're going to keep winning. The issue we'll have is if they slack up against teams like Leeds and Everton, who will just sit back and try and absorb the pressure and get a draw or even just a sneaky win. What we need to happen is we need Arsenal to keep winning. If Arsenal keep winning, then the pressure is still semi on Man City by the time they play those teams. That's what we need.
We need Man City to need to beat those teams, basically, don't we?
Correct, because they could be already focused on Europe.
Do we let Arsenal beat us?
No, because Arsenal are playing us second last game of the season. Why would we let Arsenal beat us? Are you stupid?
Yeah. Okay.
What do you mean, yeah? We can't even get through a podcast without arguing, even after we've won for the first time in 11 games.
So I do think that we'll beat Brentford. I do believe that we're going to beat Brentford.
Well, funnily enough, you know, we both predicted the score and the scorers for the last game. And you predicted prior to that, because we didn't think we were going to have this mini podcast beforehand, you predicted that we'd beat Brighton and Brentford.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to roll with that. I'll take that. You know, you genuinely think they had a really good result there midweek. I know Chelsea aren't top of the pops right now, but like, to be fair, Brentford are looking hot. Aren't they?
Forest were looking
They're
hot.
Looking good.
Forest genuinely are looking hot. I mean, it's about harnessing what they've done against Liverpool, minus the sloppy defending, and harnessing what they then applied during that the Brighton game.
Well, I think it all started from the Liverpool game at the weekend, and I said that before the Brighton game. I said, I think that like Forest's performance there gives me hope that they can go and do something at the City Ground on Wednesday. And
having
did.
Tyro and back, think, mate, isn't having Tyro back just epic?
It's massive. It's really important to the team. He put in some shift. And he had two assists. People forget he had two assists yesterday. One won't count as one because Lodi's was technically an own goal scored. But Taiwo set up those goals. And I think it's the moment when Danilo, Morgan Gibbs-White and Taiwo are all tying together in the middle. Pass, 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 pass. That's how the first goal came about. Whenever that's happening, we're sort of in a flow state rather than sort of hoping to drill the ball down the line to Brennan and him cut in, because people see that, they've analysed that. But when Gibbs-White, Danilo and Taiwo are all in one flow state together, that's the key for Nottingham Forest going forward, because we can score three goals in a game now, and we've proved that, even against a really good Brighton team. So yeah, no, I agree. Taiwo back is massive for Nottingham Forest. Absolutely
that
massive.
That Nico injury.
What are we going to do with
that
the back?
Nico injury. Do you think the Brennan was almost like... I think Brennan, and I haven't watched the replay to be fair, but I got the feeling.
He tried to take the ball down. He didn't see Nico. That's what happened.
Wish he'd been aware of Nico. I felt like that wasn't Nico's fault. You know when it looked like two players going for the same ball from the same team? I feel like, I don't know, I don't play football, but does Brennan need to be a bit more aware, spatial awareness? Here's me sat at a computer. Eating hot dogs.
Sat at a computer
talking about
making, doing
professional
a podcast.
Footballer and an elite athlete that probably didn't even have space.
Brennan thought the chance had gone behind him. Brennan thought the chance had gone behind him, so he stretched his leg. You can see him after the incident happened saying, I didn't see to Morgan Gibbs-White. I didn't see. He thought so. He was trying to stretch it, like bring it down, turn and maybe have a shot. He didn't see Nico come in. Nico went full force in for, I think, with his head. And bumbled into it, but it was just one of those things. Like, and we've been unlucky with that. Didn't McKenna and Bolly clash in the Fulham game, and that put them out or something?
No, they
like
didn't
that?
Clash. It just weirdly happened, like almost in like synchronized swimming.
We'll save our review corner for the next episode after we beat Brentford. And Statsman Will. Well, just to stay on Brennan for a second, Statsman Will gave me a very important stat or an interesting stat that Johnson hasn't scored in an evening kickoff this season in all 14 games. Home games during the day, he has been class though. Isn't that crazy? And you know, so it's going to be it's an interesting thing. He doesn't seem to score in the evening. Now that's obviously just a coincidence, but it's one of those strange coincidences that you kind of think about. That's from Statsman Will. Okay, let's get on with the Brentford game. You wanted me to do that, I'll do it. You said you're going to hang up in 3 minutes. It's probably now 2.5. Thanks for nothing. I think that we have a chance against Brentford. I think we're going to have to play a back four, and Aurier is going to go to the right. I think it's going to be Felipe, Warrell, Lodi, and Aurier. As mentioned by some of my friends, I think if we go to a back five, Kouyaté would be great in there. The issue is you have no backup plan and no centre backs on the bench, and you're in real trouble then. So I think we're going to go for a back four. Aurier on the right, keep it compact now that he's back, and then we're going to have three in the middle. And you know what? I think Kouyaté, Mangala, and Danilo might be that three. Freuler was dropped; it seemed to work. You know, much my disappointment, because I thought Freuler might be in there, even though a lot of people have been saying he should be dropped for ages. Well, it worked. They were right. And Kouyaté might come back in the middle there. And then I think we're going to have, obviously, Brennan, Morgan Gibbs-White and Taiwo up front. I think we've got to try and do a Southampton away, a 1-0 win. I don't think we're winning this game without a clean sheet, even though we won yesterday without a clean sheet. What are your thoughts? Who are their danger men? Obviously, Ivan Toney.
Well, and Mbeumo as well. He's getting a load of goals recently. Let's talk. I don't know much about their midfield. Who's in there? Remind me, midfielders play for Brentford again? Who are they? Sort of.
Well, I believe it's that.
It's probably a good thing that we can't think of any of the names, because it's past few teams, past few of the big teams, the big sides, including Brighton, the Matomas, Lewis Dunks, is that his name? Lewis Dunk, I remember. The other guy begins with C.
Lewis Dunk's the defender.
Yeah, and I know, I mean midfielders, but there's all these players that it's like, gosh, they're causing trouble. I can't name that many Brentford players in the midfield. Oh, there's that, yeah. They've got that other striker that scored against us at home as well.
That's Wissa. Wissa, that's Wissa. It. But he's a striker, he plays up front. He plays up front. The midfields we need to worry about are, I think Janelt is very capable. And Jensen as well. They're the two that I know of. And Damsgaard as well. But Damsgaard seems to be coming off the bench lately. And Da Silva hasn't played in a while. I wonder, was he injured? I think it's Janelt and Jensen are the two that we need to be worried about. But their defence is very strong. You know, Benmee, Pinnock, Jorgensen.
Benmee, of course. Listen, their midfield, I think that for once, for Cooper will plan to have our midfielders to win. We need to plan to win the midfield battle for once. What do you reckon he's going to sit back, absorb? I liked how Morgan Gibbs-White described it as just waiting till we could get a sniff. Sniff for the press, I think he called it. And they pounce.
I like Danilo. Yeah. No, I think... and you know, we nearly had another goal. Did you see that in the Brighton game there yesterday where Kouyaté pressed, won it back, gave it to Danilo. Danilo slid it to Gibbs-White and Gibbs-White just hit it over
beautiful.
The bar.
It would have been like Forest goal of the season if that had gone in.
Well, one of them, yeah. I mean, I think Brennan against Leeds is up there. But look, let's get back to Brentford. Look, I think what we have to do is maybe we just have to press Brentford and sort of not sit back and let them break us down. I don't know. I haven't watched them enough this season to remember if they're a brilliant transition team. I remember them beating Man United and that was a game where they transitioned well. And against us, they were over-the-topping the ball when we were 2-2 with them. Do you remember they just kept doing that same over-the-top ball and beat our two defenders, spit our two defenders out, and Wissa would go through and score or cause us problems.
Zerbi's a really impressive football manager and coach. I like how down-to-earth he seems now, how cool he is. But I just knew that I think Thomas Frank is going to suffer from the same. While they'll say the right thing and they know that Forrest will be a threat and they know it'll be dangerous, there'll still be this underlying false confidence about how... Because they haven't watched what we've watched. They're going to be like, they're fighting for their lives. That's dangerous. But the assumption is that that's just a scrap. They're not going to be ready for, like you say, our newfound flow in the three with Taiwo back, with Danilo working out how to fit in this league and play his game. Do you know what I mean? It's exciting. Well,
I think they struggled against us away from home or at home for us. They struggled against us in that 2-2 game just before Christmas, and they were already doing quite well. They really did struggle against us to break us down. They had a penalty that shouldn't really have been a penalty.
And then yeah, but they'll think because they're at home, they'll think because the season's moved on. Do you know what I mean? We didn't have pressure on us then.
What are they competing for, though? Other than places and prize money in the table, what are they competing for? They're not going for Europe. They're probably not going to hit the top 6 or 7. So what are they going for? Because like they're a mid-table team right now. That's what they're now. Look, I may be wrong. They may just want to win as many games and get as many bits and pieces in the pot as possible. Obviously, you, the higher you finish in the table, I don't know how much it is, you know, per million per place. If someone wants to tell me, that'd be great. But like, I don't know, like the mentality, if we can break them down and sort of get at them, break them mentally and keep them out for long enough. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we can go get a result. But I trust Cooper to outwit Frank, believe it or not, even though Frank's been brilliant.
Yeah, it annoys me when he chews his gum. And on that note, I'm going to go, Chris. I've got to go back to work. I think I'm going to win 2-1. Great result. Forest, I do believe, are staying up in the Premier League. Oh, God. It's chaos. So turbulent.
It is chaos. We've 5 games left. I think we need 3 wins from these 5 games. What do you think? What are your thoughts? I think we need 3 wins, generally, because I don't think we can risk being below 39 points. I just don't care.
I think we'll win.
Says.
I think if we win against Brentford, though, it might mean we only need one more win because it changes the dynamic and mentality of everyone. But yeah, if we don't beat Brentford, we'll probably need to dig out a win against Palace, Saints.
Like, what about one more thing? What about Chelsea? Eh? We'll get on to that. But if they still have Frank Lampard in charge, we have a shout, right? Like, he's been doing terrible.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But
well, anyway, Brentford first.
I think we've missed the... We've effectively, the purple patch to play Chelsea is coming to an end and probably will be over by the time we play them, even if Frank is still in charge. You know what I mean? Something will shift. The time to play Chelsea is sort of now or last 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I do know what you're saying. I just hope he's still in charge because I think Cooper can outwit him again. away from home, and then the crowd gets on their back and stuff. And now we're in a bit of a flow. I think we need to take
do the outro, mate. Brentford. Got to do the outro. You're talking okay. about other games. Bye bye.
Okay, predict Brentford quickly.
I've told Brentford you 2-1. I'm off. I'm hanging up now.
2-1 to Forest. Okay, I predicted a 2-2 draw, and I take that as well. Follow us at Forest all over on Instagram. Follow us at NFSC all over on Twitter. This was a bonus episode because we won, and we will do another one after Brentford before Saints. All right. That's it. I mean, I don't know what else to say, Matt. Like some of the things and subscribe to some of the things and get our rating up. We'd appreciate that. Thanks to everyone from Forest all over the world. We love you. And we'll do more stuff on that next week. Maybe. That's it. Are you saying? Matt? Jesus Christ. All right, I'm stopping here. Sports Social Podcast Network.